I'm sure you've had lots of welcomes today, so I'd like to add the fifth welcome to Cambridge, if I'm guessing at the right number. Let me tell you briefly about my route to Cambridge. That slide's fairly understandable, but there's interesting terminology at Cambridge, and one word that I'll introduce you to, you may already know, is tripos. Now, I came from Liverpool 4 years ago to Cambridge, so I kind of got involved in various things at the university and came across these unusual terms and found them quite bizarre, some of them. But they all actually in the end are very sensible and historic ideas about education at Cambridge, and it's what makes it so special. But at the bottom of it, as Mike sort of hinted, is some really good courses of study, and the undergraduate degree is one of the best. So I'm director of studies in education for a college, and I'll tell you a little bit about how the colleges work with us to help you get the best kind of education. I also have another string to my bow, excuse the pun. I'm director of music making for Churchill College. Now, Churchill is my college, and it all gets very confusing because my faculty room is on the Homerton site, Homerton College. I do lots of work here in the faculty building, and then I go off to Churchill College to do other stuff there, which is right at the other end of town. Well, I say right at the other end of town, it takes me about 20 minutes on a good day and half an hour on the bike on a bad day. But that's almost right across the city of Cambridge. And, of course, as you probably know already, it's a compact city. Yes, I'm a lecturer here at the faculty. So I've experienced the undergraduate degree. I've also had some involvement with teacher training. I'm also currently co-managing the PhDs. So I feel as though I've got a pretty broad feeling for all the different courses that are going on here. Like a good teacher, I've got some aims. Thank you very much. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the structure of the degree, which Cambridge calls a tripos. Tell you a little bit about the kinds of subjects that you'll look at. Kind of subjects also that you can study alongside education. I just want to say at this point that there's a kind of debate about, is education a subject? Well, in my view, yes, it is. Yes, it's a discipline, but to me, education is a fascinating and important thing in its own right. Yes, lots of other things influence it, and I say that partly personally. My parents were both teachers or in higher ed. I was a teacher at one point, and I'm still in education. I'm still fascinated by it. So for me, it's alive, it's breathing, and it's a brilliant subject to study. I'll tell you a little bit about the styles of teaching we have, the ways you'll learn, something about the brilliant facilities we think we have, and then probably overlap a little bit with what Mike said about the possibilities. So we've already got you in and given you a degree, and we're saying, right, this is what you're going to do on the other side. You'll see this slide twice, but just we were trying to give you a very quick overview of the whole structure of the degree. So, as you see, another slightly unusual word we use here is papers. But in other universities, they're just programs of study, even modules, if you like, but we call them papers. And you can see the layout of papers there in the different years of study. And really, I hope the slide is fairly self-explanatory. I mean, there are lots of brilliant things that go on in all years, and I'll tell you a little bit more about them in a minute. But just to pull out on this slide, in year three, you'll see you do a small research project of your own, which is a really brilliant opportunity to actually engage hands-on with research yourself. So let's go into a bit more detail then. The education degree at Cambridge is built on a focus on the disciplines. And it also involves study of thematic papers or issues in education. So, for example, as Mike has already said, the degree has a global perspective. And education these days is more and more linked in, as lots of other areas are, with events in the world at large. There are opportunities for original research, as I've said. And Mike has indicated how research informs the whole degree and our work. You get the opportunity to specialise, but you also get given a broad platform of knowledge, which gives you a very strong foundation for understanding education. And this is the platform. It's the disciplines. And we argue that these are absolutely central to understanding education. So you'll come across philosophy, sociology, history, and psychology of education. And as you see, you start with get a broad understanding of how these areas contribute to the degree, and as you go on, you increasingly specialise. Philosophers are not all ancient and made out of stone. There are some live ones, and they walk around Cambridge, and we get to interact with them and talk to them. But it's a fascinating area. And you can see just one example of someone who's been very influential, a quote from R.S. Peters there. And philosophy is not just a part of the undergraduate degree. We have debates all the time about how philosophy, for example, affects the way we carry out research. But some of the key ideas. What is the aim of education? What are we trying to do when we educate people? We might want to think about, what does being good mean? Can that be taught? Moral questions. Is education a right to all, or is it a privilege? And how have those things played out throughout history? Now, sociology. Yes, who decides what is taught? That is a question that occupies a lot of us, particularly in terms of the way governments like to decide what's taught. Should education solely reflect the needs and values of society, or is education perhaps for individuals? Where do you stand on that? And what about inequality? How can education help or not help? And you see there just a little extract from a small piece of statistical work to do with gender. The schools these days don't look like that one. Funnily enough, when I started my teaching, the kids actually had those old-fashioned wooden desks where you open the lid and you put your lunchbox in. But I think they've all died out now, but I may not be right about that. Yes, influential thinkers throughout history. In my own interest is early years education, and there are some tremendously influential thinkers who've worked with the youngest children and whose ideas have spread throughout the system. And what about childhood, you know? Childhood itself there are childhood studies degrees in itself, so it's a fascinating area, study of childhood. Yes, and even the architecture of schools. What are the buildings like? Did you perhaps go to school in an open plan building? Or did you go to school in a Victorian building with three stories? Or maybe something completely different? Mike's comments about neuroscience, things like the teaching of reading, learning of reading, how the mind develops and the brain, linked in with the way psychologists think. How do we develop the ability to remember? Or in my case, how do I stop forgetting things? And why do some individuals not fit in with their peer group, whereas others do? I'm not sure if the lady in the photograph fits in with her peer group or not. Okay, so they're the disciplines. Now let's think about some of the thematic papers. This is one of our relatively recent developments. It's one that I actually teach on and have enjoyed immensely. This is one that you study in the first year. And in the second year, again, here you see our absolute commitment to education. It's not just about the local area or the national area. It's about the world, effectively. So, and who knows where you might end up teaching or studying or working in an education-related field, in which country that might be. So it's important to understand about the wider world of education. And then in the final year, we've got some wonderful choices there. Again, I've worked closely with colleagues whose interest is in children and children's literature, you know. And for me, I still find The Hungry Caterpillar a really, really good book. So as I said, you'd see this slide again. You can see that we've been through various aspects of that. The papers are just the way that we describe the kinds of areas of study that I've outlined. But let's also think about how you combine the study of education with another subject. Of course, Cambridge being Cambridge, we have world-leading researchers and teachers in a whole series of subject areas. And so it makes sense, obviously, to combine where we can with other faculties and departments. So we borrow, if you like. We work closely with other faculties to provide the best kind of input in the subjects that you choose to study. We also actually do some teaching here, which other faculties borrow from us. So it's that word symbiosis that Mike mentioned comes to mind again. So let's have a quick look at some of these. And there are quite a lot of them, as you can see. So basically what you do is you combine these with your study of education. And as you go through the degree, you get some choice over how you balance up the amount of education you want to do with the amount of study in the other subjects. Teaching styles. Well, how do we teach you when you come here? Well, lectures, of course, are a really important part of the knowledge that we share with you and the understandings that we develop. And Mike's talked a little bit about the input from academics in the faculty. Seminars and classes. So this gives us opportunity to have slightly smaller groups, maybe, where we can open up discussion with you. And supervisions, which are one of the most unique aspects, I suppose, of an Oxbridge education. This chance to work very closely with a supervisor on a sort of one-to-one or a two-to-one basis and really explore in depth essay questions you might have written about and really get into the meat of lots of topics and issues. And, of course, the different subjects have different ways of working. So if you're studying science, of course, you're likely to do some laboratory work and so on. If you're studying drama, you're likely to be quite active at times doing drama and so on. And there it is, the building you're now in, and as Mike says, one that we're very proud of, and on the whole, it works as well, which is, if any of you have ever had any experience, let's say, of, building a house extension, you'll know that these things don't always work. But we're very pleased to say it works and it looks magnificent. So on the left there, you've got our library, the faculty library, which is just over there, and you may already have seen. And Mike spoke about the display we have of the history of education at Cambridge. And then on the right, you have the university library. And what an astonishing place that is. I can remember my first visit there, and I ended up sort of thinking I'd go along for maybe an hour or so just to find a couple of journal articles, and I just ended up spending about 10 hours there, pleasantly getting lost in all these little corners and seeing extraordinary exhibitions as well. So a really wonderful place. Indeed, when I started at the university, I had to go along and I think it was get a library card or something like that, and the place where I sat had some original John Donne poems on the wall in front of me. And I'd studied John Donne for A-level, and it was just an astonishing moment. It's also what's called, I think it's called a copyright library, and there are five in the UK, so it has every single book written in England, I believe. Gosh, these students seem to be enjoying themselves. That's excellent. we're very keen on arts as well, drama, computers, of course. And you can fully explore the debates about whether a PC is better than Mac if you come to Cambridge. I'm biased. I'm very much a Mac man now, but here I am presenting to you on a fine PC. Okay. Where might you go? Yep. Of course, we're extremely interested in teaching at a whole range of levels, right from nursery up to secondary, FE, and HE. But there is a huge range of opportunities for someone with an education degree from Cambridge, and these are just some of them. And we have colleagues who actually have worked closely with museums, for example. There are opportunities opening all the time in arts organisations who see their sort of outreach role as really important. And it brings to mind that, I don't know if you came across that stunning Venezuelan orchestra, how those kids came from the poorest socioeconomic backgrounds and their lives were transformed through classical music. And again, I mean, that's the most astonishing example of an outreach approach, if you like. Journalism, yes. I mean, and more as researchers, we find that we need to engage with the media, just as an example from our perspective on that. Management, I mean, education is full of helpful ideas about how do we work with people? You know, how do we socialize and how do we engage in more formal types of interaction? Teaching, of course, absolutely central to our interests. And if you may know already that you want to be a teacher and you want to back that up with a brilliant education degree. Of course, we have an extremely successful PGCE, a number of PGCEs, I should say, at the faculty, and we have a long history of the training of teachers here. We consistently are awarded outstanding grades by Ofsted, so Cambridge is not only good for research and for university teaching, but it's also regarded as outstanding in terms of its school teaching training that's offered. Okay, now, obviously, if you come to Cambridge, you apply to a college, and this shows you the colleges that definitely are accepting education students at the moment. For example, St. Catherine's is a college that's fairly new to accepting education students and is very keen to do that. I'm, as I told you, at Churchill. In fact, this year I'm very pleased to say we have an outstanding education student who's just got a first for her end of her year two. So some colleges have relatively small numbers of students and some have much bigger numbers, but actually there are lots of subjects that only have small numbers of students. So, you know, for example, at Churchill we have small numbers of archaeology students. So it's quite normal for colleges to have some small numbers for different subjects. We are continuing our domination of the university and spreading the word. We've tried to share with you today as much information as we could, so you've got a really good flavour. But, of course, if you want more detail, the website can help. Thank you.